Well, okay, so it happened last night when I was, this is the fourth one or whatever, happened last night when I was at,
Are we recording?
Yeah, I was at Emily's, and I was just like watching the news, we were watching basketball, and I was like, these games are over. By the way, congrats to your Aggies.
I know, dude.
They're kicking some butt.
They are, Sweet 16 bound, right?
Except, when do they play next, Wednesday?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Come on, dude.
I was on a camping trip, Tom.
I know, but you got to be proud and excited about your boys.
I am.
Okay.
Hey, Siri. When do the Texas A&M Aggies play next?
Texas A&M meets Michigan in the regional semifinals on Thursday at 6:37 p.m.
Okay. There you go. Thursday. Thanks, Siri.
Thank you, Siri.
I wish you could thank Siri, and then she would say, you're welcome.
Hey, Siri. Thank you.
Your wish is my command.
Do you ever call you like a weird name?
No, but I found out you could do that this week on the trip.
Hey Siri. What's my name? I might have changed it.
You're asking me, Ton.
Oh. Hey Siri. Call me Batman.
From now on, I'll call you Batman.
And it's funny because okay. he sounds like Alfred. Anyway,
it's true.
So
it's true.
We were talking about something kind of serious, but anyway. So yeah. So after these games yesterday, this news of this fourth, bombing came across the airwaves, and I was just like I was just into it, like focusing on it a lot and thinking about it, and probably too much. Well, and I went home and I was looking on Twitter and stuff and just following it all night, and I the cops are coming out with these briefings and stuff like that. And it's just scary stuff, you know? And I'm sitting there and like, usually these things are like a world away, but to think of them happening like just down the street or like by Emily or, you know, mm-hmm. in our parishioners'
neighborhoods,
like that's freaky. And it's scary for me. So I had a tough time sleeping last night, but it wasn't because I was like terrified, because I was like following this news stuff. And it's just very interesting. So
it's crazy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even realize that it was happening until one of the parents was like, we were praying evening prayer.
Yeah.
And, I said, are there any other prayer intentions? I'd like to pray for all the things, all the people back in Austin. It was like this really weird cryptic, young kids there. Not young kids, but 10 and 11 year olds there. And so she wasn't sure who knew what about what. And
right, yeah.
And I was like, what's going on in Austin? She said, you didn't hear? Three people were killed by bombs last week. I was like, what?
Yeah. So, initially people thought they were connected, but this last one's like, they're all random. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's tragic. And it's wild to think that there's someone out there who just like wants to do this for fun.
Yeah.
You know, or is like entertained or whatever by this. And that's just, the reason that they're doing it might make sense to them, but to us, it's just pure evil, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's
pure evil. I mean,
you're just killing random people. That's pretty much one of the worst things you could possibly do.
Exactly. Like it's evil and it's murder. It's just, it's terrible. So obviously our prayers are with all these people and with the authorities working on this. I'm confident that they'll figure it out, but it's like, just the waiting is Tom Petty said it best.
The waiting is the hardest part.
Thank you. Thank you, Will. Yeah, it is the hardest part. Anyway.
We somehow connected Tom Petty
to this terrible, to this terrible tragedy.
But seriously, it is, breaks my heart that that's happening in our community here in Austin. Mm-hmm. One of our parishioners shared publicly on Facebook, so I won't use his name, but I feel fine just sharing this story, that when he got home from a vacation, there was a package on his door that he hadn't been expecting. And like he approached the package, looked at the tracking number, put the tracking number in, and nothing came up. And so he was like, calling the cops. He called the cops. They came, and it turned out it was just like a misdelivered package for his neighbor.
Oh, gotcha. It was fine. But still, it's like, but you got to be like, careful all that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
You
know. And like, how terrible, you know?
I know.
Like, the fact that you can't even...
That we have to be worried about those things. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You know, I feel like such an old person being like, the world is so different now, but it's like, I can't even...
I mean, there was like, even before when we were really young, like the Unabomber.
Right? Oh, I know. So... Yeah, for decades.
It's not new.
No.
It's just
when it becomes real, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think I understand a lot more.
Right in my backyard.
Yeah. I think I understand a lot more of like what my, I always, and I love my mom, but I always would think like she doesn't trust people enough.
Yeah.
And, gotcha. And it's not like a, and I, it's still like a balance between fear and worry and trust and stuff like that. And I think she does a great job in reality, but there were some moments where I was like, you just got to trust people, mom. And I'm like, and right. Now, like, as you get older and older, you're like,
I understand why
people don't trust people.
Yeah.
Which is something I actually think, though, we have to fight against is because, like, the vast, vast majority of people are not out to get anybody.
Exactly.
Right?
That's like, absolutely true.
Right. They might be a jerk, but they're definitely not trying to hurt someone.
Right.
On purpose.
And, yeah. I was really reflecting on fear last night and anxiety.
Yeah.
And the role what does God want from us in this situation? Like, obviously we're supposed to trust in him, but,
yeah, but what does that look
easier said than done? Because when you're sitting at home alone in your apartment and you're like, I could die, you know, yeah. That's scary.
Oh, sure.
Anytime you realize that your life is precious, it's anxiety inducing because we're so used to being in control and we're so used to, like, we don't think about that. I don't, we're young guys. Yeah, so yeah. We don't always think about death, but when you do, when you're confronted with your own mortality, it's,
it can be kind of scary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've been thinking about that. Like, what do we do with anxiety? What do we do with people who are afraid? What do we do when we're afraid?
That's actually really good.
And I don't know the answer. Question. So I'm still working on that one. There's a book that I started reading and should finish reading. It's called The Christian and Anxiety by Hans Urs von Balthasar.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I don't know.
Is it good?
I don't know. I read like the first 10 pages on a plane and then I bought another book and read that one instead.
You bought like The Hunger Games?
And it's just page. No. It was another Jesus book. But dude, I read The Hunger Games in college in a weekend, all three of them.
Yeah. I literally was going to see the ball drop in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
With some friends of mine.
Yeah.
Terrible experience.
Yeah. Why'd you do that? That was awful.
Well, because it's cool to do one time, but never again.
Sure, I get
literally,
that.
You're like herded in to a corral. Like they make everyone get out of Times Square.
Yep.
And then they push you through to check for security. And then you're in.
And you
once you're
leave.
In, you can't leave.
I know. People like wear diapers and stuff, right?
Yeah. It's insane.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So...
Anyway, Hunger Games.
Anyway, so we needed some books to read.
Yeah.
Obviously. It was like pre-Kindle. Not really pre-Kindle, but I didn't have a Kindle.
Back in the day.
And so one of my buddies had The Help. So I read all of The Help.
Great book. Great movie, book. Too.
Yeah. Read all of The Help.
Wow.
All of The Hunger Games, part one. And I got so addicted to it that I literally went and bought the other two books in New York City.
That next day?
Like, when I don't remember when I bought it.
That's funny.
Bought two and three, or maybe just two. And, like, when I got home, finished three in, like, three days.
Those books are super easy to read.
Yeah.
But they're like, addicting. And they get to the love story. I'm like, skip. Yeah. I want to hear about the utopian drama.
The dystopian
drama or whatever it is.
Yeah. I actually think that I was thinking about that yesterday, like, yesterday night. So one of the eighth graders who was on the trip with me, we went to – so last week I – went with the Boy Scouts to Utah, to Zion National Park. It was amazing. Went to Bryce Canyon with them, and it was really cool. We hiked around. But because Utah is 20 hours away, we spent a lot of time in a car.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the kids told me about a book called The Girl Who Ate the Moon, Who Drank the Moon.
Oh.
It's like I don't know, because one of my favorite questions to ask kids is, like, what are you reading? Like, what books do you read? And,
yeah.
This kid said it was sort of like, on the level of, well, he didn't say it exactly like that, but I got the impression that it was like on the level of The Giver. Which, if you've read The Giver, yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah.
Even if you're not like a 10-year-old reading the book.
No, it's a good book. It's just I read it in high school, I think.
Yeah. So.
No. Grade school. Sorry.
Anyway, so I actually checked the book out of Austin Public Library on my Kindle.
Nice.
Which you can do anywhere. It's so cool. I love it.
This amazing. Is not hashtag not an ad for Austin Public Library.
No, but well, or Kindle. I mean, I'd be fine with that. What's cool about it is you can check out books like ebooks.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the library.
That's awesome.
You can read them.
Can you do it on your phone too?
Yeah. You can read it on any Kindle device or Nook or whatever.
Do they have an app or is it just a website?
Well, you have to get an Austin Public Library card.
Okay.
And then after that, you can...
Just like type in your number and you're good to go.
Well, you like go online, sign in.
Cool.
It's really cool.
That's really great.
Yeah, so libraries aren't library. Just for books anymore. They're for ebooks and periodicals.
Ebooks
and,
are still books.
And, no, but they also have videos on there that you can watch on demand. Cool. All sorts of cool
like
stuff.
Like movies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what the heck?
Do the movies download to your phone?
I think you can.
Do you just stream them?
I think you can download some.
They have to like expire at some point.
Yeah, well, like the ebook expires after 3 weeks. So wow. It's like a regular checkout.
Oh, period. That's awesome. Then yeah. You don't lose the book.
Huh?
Then you don't have to lose the book. Then you don't have to
return it. No, you don't have to return the book. It's great.
It just deletes stuff off your phone. That's awesome.
It is. So get an Austin Public Library card. Yeah. Thank you for your sponsorship. Let's do
that. This is not an ad.
This is not an ad. This is just me. Anyway, so I checked out this book. I didn't have Wi-Fi, so I couldn't download it then. But I started it the day I got back
here.
That night when I was going to sleep.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed the first 5 chapters. I literally
had the girl who drank the moon.
I think it's the girl who drank the moon. Yeah. And I literally had to like tell myself I'm going to sleep now because I wanted to keep reading.
I love when that happens.
I love books like
that. That has only happened to me with a few select books. Usually books put me to sleep. Like that's why I can read them before, you know, because it's like
sure.
It lulls me to sleep.
Yeah.
But there are some books in the world that I've stayed up all night reading.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like you go to bed at 9 and you look at the clock and it's 3.
And you're like, oh, crap, oh I have to gosh, get up at 6. I have 6.
To go to bed. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I used to love doing that. And the other thing that I love doing is falling asleep reading a book. Yeah. Like, and letting myself be able to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's so weird because – anyway, I really liked the book so far.
Good.
So I'm looking forward to it. But last night – we were hanging out, Father James and Father Doug and I, after everything was over, we were just watching these ridiculous, this ridiculous CNN program about the popes that was just like absolute ridiculous.
I'm sure Father Doug had some issues with the,
oh, it was so funny.
He was like, they don't fact check this. Come on.
Well, just the way that they like make them look, it's like.
Oh.
This young dude just walking around like a melancholic 14-year-old, like I don't even know how to describe it. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to bed and I'm gonna read this book.
Yeah, you have something better to do.
I forgot that my Kindle was up here and I was really sad
because
I was like, what am I gonna read? I ended up reading a book on preaching, which was fine. But it wasn't quite as engaging,
right?
As
it's more technical.
Yeah, it was just so interesting because I could literally stay up for a really long time reading.
Yeah, see, I have to do a better job of finding fiction books to read because I gravitate towards these theology things.
Why do you? Yeah,
and this stuff about like there's this church or this church.
There's this church.
There's this church. You might have heard. It's called the Catholic Church. There's this book that I have been meaning to read forever. I just can't bring myself to do it because it's so technical and because it's so like pastoral and theological. It's called Towards an Adult Church.
Huh.
And I'm like the adult formation director, so I should read it. I just can't do it because I'm so tired of reading like theology stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good to not tired of, but it's good to mix in the fiction with the non. So.
Yeah. But balancing that is hard. Cause like there's something that's like I've been plodding my way through John of the Cross for a while and I kind of made a goal to read a lot of it in Spanish rather than in English. Cause I really get more out of it when I read in Spanish, but it's a lot harder to read in Spanish.
Right.
I mean, like I can read most of what he says first pass through, but, it's just like last night, my John of the Cross book was sitting there on the table and I could have read it, but it's like a different type of reading to me. Like, I can read the preaching book and I can read the fiction book in bed, but if I'm reading John of the Cross, like, I gotta, like, sit.
Well, it's like a
sit up and, you know.
It's a spiritual memoir, right? Yeah. And he's, like, very mystical.
Yeah.
So well, it's tougher to read, too.
Yeah, it is. And so.
I've never read any of his stuff.
I think that there's, like, a.
I should, but.
Yeah. So Robert Barron, Bishop Robert Barron, came to the seminary I was at one time.
Yeah.
My first year. And he said something that I've haven't done, but I hope to do. And well, I've done some, but he was like, pick an author and just read.
Yeah.
Like as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Because especially when you're young, you can read faster because your eyes
work.
Your eyes work. You might not understand everything,
right,
but you can read more. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, when you get to my age, it's like harder to read. And I was like, oh, dang.
I know, yeah. Well, that's what I've been trying to do with theologians, like von Balthasar. I've always been intrigued by him.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I'm going to get a couple of his books. So I got a few of his books, and I just haven't sat down to read them yet. But it's like, you got to get to know the author. You got to get to know the theologian.
Yeah, it becomes easier and easier.
Because theology and spirituality isn't just like written down, but it's also lived out, and it's in this person's soul, mm-hmm. and they put their soul into their writing. Yeah. And so I think the more time, I think, of course, he's right, but I think that's wise, because the more time you spend with an author, the more you get to know who they are and their spiritual journey, you mm-hmm. know? I don't know. Henry Nouwen, I get that a lot with Henry Nouwen. You read Henry Nouwen's books and you're like
oh, this is where you
were at.
Go.
This is where you were at in your life. And like, I can plot your life's journey according to your writings.
Interesting. You've read a lot of him?
Probably more than any other author besides like J.K. Rowling. More than any other.
J.K. Rowling.
More than any other spiritual writer, I think.
The uniting principle of everyone from age 20 to 30.
Harry Potter. Those were those books I couldn't put down.
Oh, dude.
Agree or disagree. I don't know, people. But
yeah.
I loved those books.
We bought the first three books when I was in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in fourth grade at a book fair.
Yeah.
Bought the first three books. After that, midnight release, every book.
Dude, same.
Like,
I left a birthday party to go home and read Harry Potter. It was like a pool party. There were cute girls there. I left to go read the last Harry Potter book. And I was like, I'm out of here.
I don't care.
I gotta go finish this book. My mom brought it to me. It was great. She like went to Barnes & Noble to buy it. And she like called me or was telling me, she's like, I'll pick you up at this time. I have the book. And I was all about it. Went home, stayed up all night and read it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Those were the days, man. Staying up all night
reading. And I was like, now I got to wait a whole other year.
Yep. Nah, you just keep rereading them.
I haven't done that yet, but I should. Anyway, we mentioned a few seconds ago, a few minutes ago,
we've been going
that you went to Utah. So
I did.
It was just like a Boy Scout trip?
Yeah.
It was just like, was it for a badge or was it just for fun?
No, I mean, they, so one of the things the scouts do obviously is camp. Usually they camp closer to home, but since it was spring break, I think some of the older scouts were like, we want to go somewhere.
Cool.
And, they, from what I understand, they plus the scoutmaster and a couple other adults really planned the trip, and I was really along for the ride, man.
Sweet.
It was pretty cool. I went to their, I think it's called Blue and Gold Night.
Yeah.
Which is where the Cub Scouts, like, rank up.
Yeah, to the Boy Scouts. Yeah.
And they, like, within Cub Scouts, they rank up. But the Cub Scouts become Boy Scouts also at this Blue and Gold Night. And so there are a bunch of our kids from the school who ranked up into scouts.
Cool.
And then some of those kids went to this thing, so it's like their first, which is ridiculous. It's like their first camp out
in Utah.
They've been Boy Scouts for 2 weeks and their first camp out is going to Zion National Park.
That's pretty cool.
Which is amazing, but hopefully it's not too much of a letdown to go to like someplace
Big
in
Bend
Texas.
Or wherever.
Well, not Big Bend. Big Bend will be cool, but like Lost Pines Scout Ranch or whatever.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds lame.
Bastrop.
Well, okay, so did you guys like hike or
we left on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. We drove to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
And then we got up, went to mass at a parish there in Albuquerque, in downtown in like the square. It was pretty cool.
I've always wanted to go to Albuquerque.
The church was beautiful.
Cool.
And then we drove from there to Zion National Park, set up some tents, and camped. Ran into Shannon Swinson at Zion National Park.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And he was up in Nevada for a family event, and he made a point of coming down there and saying hi.
It's great. It
was pretty cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
So his family hiked the Narrows, which is, we didn't do the Narrows. It's like where you can go into the river, basically. Mm-hmm. So you're like hiking in the river, walking through the water.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a risk of like flash flooding and that kind of thing. And
meh.
So for Shannon and his family, that was cool. But the Boy Scouts decided that that was not a good idea to do. But we hiked some pretty cool hikes. We did this on Monday. We did about 5 mile thing of Hidden Canyon.
Okay.
So you climbed up a bunch of switchbacks, like 20 of them. And then we went into this canyon, and there was a hole. There were some rocks that had fallen, and you had to climb through this hole into the canyon.
Heck no.
It wasn't like you could see daylight on both sides, nope. Dude.
Maybe.
You could totally have done it.
Those, like, spelunking adventures that you see on spelunking, YouTube.
Dude.
But you know what I'm talking about, where you see people on YouTube and they're like,
yeah, well, I've
in a crack.
Done some in we got to go to Enchanted Rock. I'll show you the cave.
I will never do that. I can't. Like, to be like pressed in on both sides by a rock.
You're not pressed in on both
sides. Well, there's some that, like, you're in there. You're like in a hole. And it's, I couldn't do it. I'd die. I'd just pass out and die right there. I can, like, go in a cave. That'd be great. But, like, to be in such a tight space, yeah, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, anyway, so
this is just Tom's fears. This is the section where we discuss Tom's greatest fears.
Tom's greatest fears.
Small spaces.
Small spaces. That's why he has the biggest office in the place, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
Hey, so, man. Never mind.
Don't hate.
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, we did that. We did some other cool we hiked in Bryce Canyon, which was pretty awesome.
Cool.
It's like this weird looking landscape.
Is that what you sent me a picture of?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember. But in Bryce Canyon, so what's weird about it is I guess it was somewhat formed by water,
okay,
but mostly formed by wind.
Oh.
Yeah, in like freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing. Cool. And so it's just like these weird hoodoos. They're called hoodoos. You can put a picture of one for our cover or something.
I'm not in charge of that.
Okay.
You have to talk to the lady who's in charge of that.
Anyway. But hoodoos are like they're like pillars.
Okay.
They're like stalagmites? Like a totem pole.
Oh,
but
okay.
But it's completely naturally occurring, made out of rock.
Wow.
And so it's weird looking, dude. Like, there's fields of them.
Interesting.
And
did you guys have, like, a guide, or did you have to look all this stuff up?
No, we just, I mean, you have a map.
Yeah, you Google it.
And you just go for it.
How do you spell hoodoo?
H-O-O-D-O-O.
I should have figured that out.
Hoodoo.
Let's see. Let's look at one
of these. It's like voodoo, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen one of these things. They're just, like, rocks on a precipice. It's like a spire of rock. Like these guys.
This is great for podcasting. Yeah, exactly. From Bryce Canyon, right there. That picture.
Cool.
So we did an 8
mile. That is what you sent me a picture of, I think.
We did an 8 mile loop in Bryce Canyon.
Nice.
And that was a pretty good hike. And then we climbed to the top of the canyon in Zion the next day, and that was like an 8 mile hike.
Cool.
So, I mean, it was a really amazing experience. Like, the hikes were awesome, and I love being in nature. But the best part of it was I invited the kids to pray a lot.
Yeah.
And they responded
a lot
to pray.
That's great.
So, it was really...
You've also developed a good relationship with them. You've been with them a lot, right? Especially the school kids.
Yeah. I mean, not all these kids were Catholic school kids. Some of them weren't even Catholic, or... Some of them weren't going to mass on the reg or whatever, but all of them were open, and they were good kids, right?
Sure. Like, I mean, and you had a good time. Like, you put boys out in the wilderness and they're going to have a great time. Usually.
Yeah.
Usually.
And I mean, it's definitely a learning experience. You, when you're moving in a group like that, you have to sacrifice a lot.
I thought you were going to say like a member or two.
No,
here and there.
Well, no, usually you don't do that, but, like I'm 26, right? So basically if it was me and my buddies, we could just go.
You could have done 12 miles.
Yeah. Or we could have done,
or whatever.
Yeah. We would have backpacked. I would have backpacked. And I still think that, like for the older kids, that's probably a better experience of having to, but that wasn't what the group was doing, right?
Yep,
and so,
yep.
To sacrifice for the group and to help kids with everything from like I can't figure out this thing,
mm-hmm.
to I'm car sick and I just threw up.
Man,
you know,
rough.
And just to be there for them, it was right, a really sure. good experience. And we like shared life. Shared life is where,
yeah.
like, how people come to know Christ,
it's
right?
Community.
I was literally thinking about at one point, like I could see this experience of one of the kids said to me, he was like, "I didn't know you before we came." He was one of the older kids. He was like, "I didn't know who you were before we came," and I was kind of like, "Who's this dude? And like,
yeah.
what's he doing?
What's his deal?
What's his deal?" But he was like, "You're pretty cool," and like, I don't say that because like it was
the
an
approval
ego boost.
Of a 12-year-old.
No, it was like a 15-year-old.
Oh, okay.
Come on,
oh, that's worth
come on.
A lot more, dude.
No. But the point being, what that allowed for, like that trust and that relationship that had been
yeah.
built, was we like on one of our drives we talked a lot about like why are priests not married? Why are
mm-hmm.
you know
mm-hmm.
what is this thing? What is that thing? You know, like. What's the church believe about this? And
yeah.
It was just cool. Like, I mean, that was
yeah.
how people, it was like the Sherry Waddell.
Yeah, right.
Remember,
I mean, that's
like,
exactly what I'm
right,
thinking of.
Yeah, like the trust.
What yeah, she's it? Got
trust
five stages
yeah, trust
of discipleship.
Person,
right.
And then like, curiosity. So I could like
yep.
see it happening.
That's awesome.
Which was really cool. And so I'm praying for those kids and, you know, just that the Lord continues to work in their life. Especially if there are ones that weren't practicing the faith or whatever, but even the ones that are, like
right.
just to be open to, like, I think there's boys from our school who are called to be priests and
sure.
there's everyone's called to do something. Right. So whether it be a husband and father or a priest. And I think there's kids that could be great priests and great fathers
sure.
from our school. And I just want to encourage them to do like to follow Christ in a radical way.
Yeah. And it takes adults spending time with these kids
yeah.
to get to know them, to identify that them in them and say, "Hey, have you ever thought about,"
yeah.
like that's why I considered priesthood in
yeah.
seminary is because people said to me like,
"Have
you
ever
know,
thought about this?
You'd be a great priest."
Yeah.
And more often than not, I'd be like, "You don't know what you're talking about." But
yeah.
But that's important
yeah,
for that to happen, you know, over
yeah,
and over
yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think by spending time with these kids and just hearing them, right, and developing a relationship of trust.
And like knowing their strengths and knowing
exactly.
their weakness, like seeing and being able to name. Like I was able to tell some of the kids, I was like, "You're really good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have this gift."
Mm-hmm.
And that I think is really important. I saw other adults doing the same thing on the trip and, you know, of course you have to correct kids and you have
sure.
to make sure that they're being safe and you have to tell them no sometimes.
But I think especially with young boys, that actually helps build respect.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
When you correct them, they're
yeah.
like, "Oh, he's not messing around."
Yeah.
Okay. Like
we're,
I have to respect
serious.
Him. Yeah.
We're serious.
Right.
We're not playing as Father James says, we're not playing around. We're playing church here. We're being church here.
Oh wait, that's the name of our podcast.
Yeah. That's the where it came from.
We're all very aware. We're all very aware.
All of you 10 listeners out
yeah,
there.
Seriously.
10 listeners.
Well, it sounds like a good weekend, dude. And it sounds like...
it was a good week.
It was. It sounds like it was nice to get away. Just to be... There's a quote from Thomas Merton, and he says, every man should at least once in his life, man and woman, obviously, spend one night in the forest. Just
yeah.
like sitting there awake, just listening to everything and being in the forest. There's
I
something
like
about
that.
Being in the outdoors that's like...
I like it.
It's like strong,
yeah.
strong God moment, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For all of us, I think.
I agree. I think there's... Yeah. I totally agree.
Okay, cool.
No, I mean, like, there's just nothing.
There's
like,
nothing more to say. That's all right.
Being in nature, and you're just looking. One of the things I tried to emphasize with the boys over and over again, because I would sometimes lead like a little reflection at the end of the night, was just like, God made this, mm-hmm. which you're looking at right now. He made it so that you could look at it.
That's right.
Like, it's a gift to mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. specifically, mm-hmm. right here, right now.
Yeah. Oh man, Mark Mulchin, Mark everybody. Mark Mulchin's
coming in.
What's up, dude? God. That's okay. We're just talking about Will's Utah experience.
Yeah,
that's all. Anyway, but we're about done.
Yeah, we were.
We're about done. Anyway, so thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Being Church podcast. We love you. We're praying for you. And we'll see you next week.
Go be church.